Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 tonight. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read a couple verses tonight. And we'll get through this lesson, Lord willing. Sunday morning, I had every intention to finish my Sunday school class, but I started to look at the time. And I usually have my notes down to about 6 to 7 pages, which usually gives me about 45 to 50 minutes. And how I talk. But Sunday morning, the Lord, as I was giving a message Sunday morning, the Lord just kept giving me more stuff. And so I looked at the clock up here on my tablet and it said 10:45, and I still had 3 pages of notes to get through. So, you know, when the Lord does that to you, instead of fighting it, you just got to go with it. And so that's what I did. And if that happens again tonight, then so be it. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 2. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Let's read down to verse number 5. "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So as we continue tonight, we finish the word. You guys know what it is? Trim, exactly, trim. T-R-I-M-E. So we finished the word trim. The final letter that we're going to go over tonight, obviously, is the word, the letter is M. And this stands, you ready for this? Motivate. Stands for motivate. Before you get the wrong idea, however, let me explain this. I'm not meaning like what we see in the infomercials of a salesman trying to get us to buy something we don't need. You guys ever seen those sales commercials? They're crazy. They used to come on late at night, and there used to be almost 15 to 20 minutes infomercials. And I remember watching those things as they would come on, and I just sit there with anticipation. They're only one in $19.99 for those things. And as I begin to hear the salesman, he's just trying to motivate us into buying those things. And then all of a sudden, I'm wanting to get on my phone. I'm like, man, I got to order this. Chris, where's my credit card at? We got to get this thing because, man, after midnight, the sale's going to go away, and we're going to miss out on this great product that we might get in the mail 2 months later, and it's going to break. And so as we get those credit cards out, and we begin to dial, all of a sudden, we hear the salesman go, "But wait, there's more." And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, how can this get any better? Man, this guy's really trying to motivate me into buying this product. And so they say, man, now you're not only going to get one for $19.99, but you're going to get two for $10.99. I'm like, holy cow. I'm sold. I'm so motivated. I'm pumped. I'm thinking, Chris, we don't have to go into debt for this anymore. We can put it on a credit card for $10, and we only have 24% interest, and we'll be paying on it for the next year and a half. I'm not talking about that type of motivation, folks. We have those people who try to give us those sales pitches. Back in the early days of wrestling, there was another way that they would try to motivate people. And I was one of those followers of Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan he's been around for many years, and I can remember him giving his spiel. "Hey, brother, if you want to be like me, all you got to do is take the training, the prayers, and the vitamins. And when you do those things, you begin to work out, and you're going to get big muscles, and you're going to pop out of that shirt, and you're going to say, what you going to do when these 24-inch pythons run wild over you, brother?" And I'm thinking, yes, I'm so motivated. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to get these vitamins. I'm going to get jacked. I'm going to get pumped up, and I'm going to go out, and I can rip my shirt off and look good. Again, folks, that's not the type of motivation I'm talking about, okay? We have different ideas of what motivation means. Now that I got your attention, which is what I'm wanting to do, brother, we are going to focus on how a preacher is to bring motivation to the congregation. There are some preachers who will fall into those two type of categories that I just demonstrated. And I know I look silly and I probably made a fool of myself. That's okay. I do that on a daily basis. But there are some that will do this because they have that type of mentality. And I want to warn you about those people real quick, because those type of preachers, they try to motivate you and they try to sell you on a prosperity gospel. And what they try to say is, you name it, you claim it. You want a brand new car, then go to the Lord and say, Lord, I claim this brand new car. They're trying to motivate you into something. And then, if you donate, because I've seen this too, I've watched their programs, and I've seen it at the end, and they'll do the exact same thing as these infomercials do. Now, if you just say this prayer, and you donate $10, then we will throw in some holy water for you. They're not near as excited as those infomercials. They try to sound more poetic and more discreet about things. And they will also do the same thing. They'll say, but wait, there's more. So I'm trying to warn you about those as well. So up until now, we have dealt with the letter which stands for the word trim. We dealt with the letter T, which stands for teacher. A pastor needs to have the ability to teach. We have covered the letter R. The letter R is relational, or we can use the other word, being connected to the church that God has called him to preach. And then last week we dealt with the letter I. This letter stood for, class, if you listened last week, what did it stand for? Integrity, exactly. Or we can say an honest, or one who tries to live a righteous life. But what some don't realize is pastors slash teachers spend a good deal of their time trying to motivate their people. And tonight, I hope through the teaching of God's word, I can try to share with you on how we try to do these things. Some may look at this as, why does the pastor always quit and start things? I've heard those things. Well, the pastor, he's always quitting things. Well, he's starting things and he quits things, blah, 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 blah. And the reason is this. They are trying to figure out what works for people. They're trying to figure those things out. They're trying to get them excited and they're trying to get them involved. Some things just don't work, so they move on to the next. Mainly due, listen to this, to the fact that people lack interest in doing the work of God. Which is why pastors, preachers, evangelists, and missionaries spend a great deal of their time trying to motivate people to do the work of God. Sunday morning, I spent a good deal of time trying to motivate, trying to urge you, trying to get you to see the need, the importance of reading your Bible. I spent a lot of time doing those things. Peter uses a different word here in verse number 1. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, trying to encourage. Peter was trying to urge these elders that were among the people to do a few things. One, he was urging them, he was exhorting them to stay focused. And I believe reason why is because Peter knew of the discouragements of being a preacher, teacher to the folks that God had called them to give the message to. So he encouraged them to stay focused, and then he encourages them in verse number 2 to feed the flock of God. He's trying to motivate them in some areas in their life because he knew of the discouragement that each elder faced. And when facing hard times, here's what can happen to an elder. Here's what can happen to a pastor. Here's what can happen to the congregation as well. We can come so discouraged and we've become so swallowed up in our circumstances, we lose our motivation to serve God. Which is why a pastor slash preacher tries to come up here every single time he gets into the pulpit with excitement, with zeal, trying to feed you the Word of God, trying to urge you to stay on course, trying to get you to keep your focus on him and don't get caught up being so discouraged. Hard times come across everybody. If you were to ever be in a ministry, you'll understand this one saying. Why preachers, when they wake up on Monday mornings, why they always have the thought that crosses their mind, I want to quit. Because they too get discouraged. And I believe Peter was realizing this, and this is why he addressed the elders here, first of all, in 1st number Peter, and he's exhorting them. He's trying to edify them. He's trying to encourage them. Some might not look at Peter as a motivator, but something I want you to understand, Peter played a big role in the early church. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I had the chance to stand behind Peter today, I would. For this fact, Peter stood up for Jesus as he was sold out for 30 pieces of silver, and they tried to come and they tried to capture him. And Peter stood up and he grabbed a sword and he chopped off the ear of an individual. I don't know about you, but that would motivate me. Man, this guy's tough. This guy's brave. He's got a host of men that has surrounded Jesus and a host of men that have surrounded some of the disciples at this time. And Peter demonstrated no fear. Peter demonstrated guts. He demonstrated bravery at this time. And he grabs a sword and just chops it off. And I tell you what, that would motivate me to be with him. And then as I begin to look at Peter's life even a little bit more, because we don't think of Peter as a motivator, but Peter, while out on the Sea of Galilee, which, by the way, if you're there, you would say, this isn't a sea. You're exactly right. It's a lake. But we know of it as the Sea of Galilee. But Peter, as he's out there, the waves are very high. Jeff and I had a different view of this time. Last time when I was there, this did not take place. But they've been dealing with the same type of wind that we have been dealing with. It's crazy. And as we're sitting there, and we actually had the privilege to relax this day towards the end of the day, because most days we didn't. And so we're just chilling out, and we're in some lounge chairs, and all of a sudden, man, lounge chairs kept flying by us. And I was beginning to become concerned. I'm thinking, man, what's next, people? Because that's how bad the wind was. But Jeff had the same thought that I had. Our eyes were out on the sea. And we're looking at the waves. And we both begin to imagine this. It's windy now. And we see how high the waves are. It had to have been much windier the day that storm came in and those waves began to come up. But here's why I would stand behind Peter. Because I've seen firsthand what a first century boat looks like. Folks, it's not that big. And as you see that thing, your mind begins to throw yourself more in a story, and it begins to become more real to you. And Peter, on that particular day, sees Jesus out on the sea, and he says, Jesus, is that you? And Jesus answers, yes, it's me. Come forth. I'm not in exactly those words. Peter gets out of the boat, and he goes toward Jesus. I don't know about you, but that'll motivate me to follow Peter. That would say, man, this guy, he's not afraid of the storm. He's keeping his eyes on Jesus, and he's staying focused. And I'm thinking, man, I would want to get behind him. But we automatically begin to dog Peter because Peter begins to fall. Well, do we not begin to fall in our walk with Jesus as well? But here's the amazing thing about that. As Peter's beginning to fall, where did his eyes go? They went right back to Jesus. Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes as we begin to fall, our eyes stay down. And we don't look back up. And I would be behind Peter 100%. But as I said a little while ago, he played a big role in the early church. Many folks came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6, 7, 8,000. And I can't even begin to imagine where that number is today, because the church is still going on. Souls have been saved. Men have been called into the ministry. They've taken on the responsibility of picking up the mantle that Peter left behind and the other disciples left behind. And they have that call, and they've gone out and they've started churches and they preached the gospel and they stayed the course, and many more men and women and children have come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. I don't know about you, but that motivates me. He played a big role. Lives have been changed. Souls that were going to hell are no longer on their way to hell. Why? Because the power of God's word being preached, souls are now going to heaven, and some souls are already there. What an encouragement. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. If you're alive tonight, say amen. The right side's alive. The left side doesn't know where they're at right now. We'll get you here in a second. I'm talking to the right of me and the left of me. Hebrews chapter number 10, let's read verses number 24 through 25. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." These two verses are important verses to consider when it comes to trying to inspire, or when it comes trying to motivate, or when it comes trying to encourage, or whatever words you want to throw out there for other believers. A pastor spends a great deal of time trying to get the church to see the need to just even consider one another. Let's dwell on this for the next few moments, if we may. There are ways of considering others. One is this. One is by being interested in their lives. Matter of fact, you can probably put that back with the letter R with relational. But if you want to help motivate somebody, if you want to help to encourage somebody to keep doing the will of God, then you and I must be considering those people by showing interest in their lives. This is another form of connecting to the people of the church. It's important to let others know that you are thinking about them. Isn't it great as we at times gather around and we have our corporate prayer, and at times just out of nowhere somebody lifts your name up in the group? And why does that take place? Because they're taking time to consider you. They're being thoughtful. Isn't it great as you're going about your work week and you might get a text and you might get a phone call saying, "Hey, brother, I want to let you know I'm lifting you up right now," not knowing that you're facing a horrible situation right now. They might not know that you just got a horrible phone call from the bank and saying your mortgage is skyrocketing right now. Something happened. We missed the last 7 payments. And now you're so far behind, and now you're just kind of sitting there, you're just bewildered about some things, but somebody reached out to let you know that they're thinking about you, and they're lifting you up in prayer. Showing a genuine interest in people will go a long way. Amen? When we are thinking about others, this will prompt us, as I just said a little while ago, as we are trying to be more considerate of others, this will prompt us, hopefully, to be willing to pray for each other. That's being considerate. And this is why you will hear pastors that will urge you at times, and it'll sound as if they are begging you in this area at times to pray for one another, to be considerate. And as we do so, this will lead into the next phase, and that is this. As we are trying to be a motivation towards somebody by considering them, the next stage is this. It says here in verse number 24, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto what? Unto love." This should give us a desire for this, to love the brethren. I enjoy coming to church because it's a great time for us to catch up from just being away from each other just from a few days ago. We're able to see how each other's day has gone, their week, and things of that nature. And I enjoy these things for this reason, because I love the brethren that God has allowed me to be a part of your lives here. But unfortunately, folks, it's not always about loving the church. It's not always about loving the church. We have a lot of hate that's going around in this world. It was demonstrated a week and a half ago in the state of Texas how much hatred that there is out there. But the hate's not only in the world, folks. The hate is in the church. And I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Christ who despise one another. And we show no love towards each other. We have heard so much about unity lately. It's because when we are not unified, we are at odds. When we are at odds with each other, the chances of us loving one another are very slim. Which is why we've spent many months trying to motivate you to see the need to be in unity with one another. That's how God designed the family of God. He did not design us. And I know you might think that I sound like a broken record. You might say, well, Chad, you're not doing much studying here. Like, no, I've done a lot of studying. But we urge, we motivate, we encourage. Because when we're unified, we'll fight for one another. We'll go to battle for one another. So when we love each other, we will then be encouraged to provoke each other to good works. Pastors are trying so hard to get people to see the need to get involved in the church ministries. And I hope that you see the importance of being involved. I'm going to be flat out honest with you, as honest as I can be. And some of you might get upset with me, and that's fine. But I'm tired of us coming to church and sitting and acting as if we're just bumps on a log. Hello. Amen. Because, folks, we ought to be excited that Christ saved our soul from hell, and we ought to be so excited and we ought to be so motivated to go out into our community to share the same gospel that was shared with us. But when those things are mentioned and when we try to do the things that might not seem inconvenient, by the way, I have a schedule just like you folks do. I work just like you. And I'm here at church too as well. But I'm excited to let people know that there is a Christ who loves them. And so when we have ministries in the church, we need to get involved. We can look at these as good works. And I'm not talking about works that will only make yourself look good, because we have enough of that in churches today. Well, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Well, look what I've accomplished. Put your eyes on me. Congratulations. Here's your trophy, if that's what you want. We should not be here to have men's applause. We shouldn't be here to gain the glory of God. We should be here pleasing and working for the kingdom of God. Amen? I'm talking as a church working together for the cause of Christ. You might say, Chad, you kind of sound angry tonight. No, man, I'm passionate about this. I really am. I'm excited. Did you not just hear me squeal? I wasn't expecting that, but I'm excited about what's going to be taking place here in the next few weeks. Going away from what we've done so much in the past and trying to broaden our ministries here, trying to get more young people in this church. I miss seeing young people gather around. I miss seeing 40, 50, 60 young kids walk out of these doors and go into their classrooms. I miss having 10, 11, 12 teachers I miss seeing those things. And we got to get excited about going out and knocking on doors and inviting people to church. Yeah, Chad, it sounds great, but I just don't have time. It's just not convenient. Yeah, I understand those things. It's not convenient because it interferes with our time. I get it. I understand those things. But even though a pastor will get ridiculed and mocked for trying ways to get the church motivated to do the work of God, he still needs to stay on course. I'll never forget meeting up there in our old auditorium as a young man, as we're packed out in there. And it seemed like as we're elbow to elbow, sitting on steel chairs. And I remember Pastor having a vision of just expanding our church. And I remember there were people who were disgruntled about it. Just as there were people disgruntled about building the gymnasium back there because they didn't see the need for some things. But I remember Pastor being so excited and the possibility of being able to build this auditorium. But I'll never forget one particular Sunday night, I believe it was on the anniversary of our church, and his birthday was close to that time, where he received a check, and I believe it was for $27,000. I remember so many things, folks. And that was given to him to put forth to the building of this church we're at now. Folks, do you understand something? Those things were done so that we can grow. What is being done this summer is so that we can grow. And I hope you catch the vision of those things. But even though the ridicule comes, the pastor still needs to stay on course. But I found some things out. The people who mock, the people who complain, the people who go behind individuals' back and begin to gossip and begin to spread discord and begin to do other things are the ones who don't lift a finger to help. Here in a few weeks, we are doing something this church has never done before that I know of, and that is dedicating the midweek service to young people. And then we're going to go from that and we're going to help the elderly people who need help in their homes. Well, Chad, who are you going to help? I'm just waiting for some folks to come to me, but I have one individual that's in my mind already, and we haven't seen her in a long time because of COVID and because she's getting up there in age, and we still love her and we still miss her, but I know Roseanne needs some help. I know of those things, and I'm excited just to expand our ministry in the church to be a help to our senior citizens here. We've been trying so hard to encourage you to get excited about another opportunity to serve the Lord. But it seems like only 10% of the church is excited about it, and 90% could care less. You know why I say that? Because in small churches, well, not just in small churches, it's churches everywhere, only 10% of people do the work. Why 90% of the other people complain about it. We have an opportunity to invest our lives into the young people of this community. We have a chance to show them Jesus Christ. We have a chance to show them that He cares for them. We have a chance to show them that He loves them. We have a chance to show them the gospel so that they can hear it. And as they hear the gospel, they can believe it. And with belief, get saved from hell and go to heaven. We have a chance to let them know that their sins can be forgiven. And when their sins are forgiven, their sin will be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus, what we covered here Sunday night. Why is it precious? Because it covers my sin. How do I know that? Because the Bible is true. How else do I know that? Because I saw Calvary. I know that place exists. How do you know that? Because I saw the tomb where they put Jesus in, and He's no longer there. I don't know what more proof you need in your life. We have a chance to knock on doors, to invite them to church, and to let them know that we too, that we as Open Door Baptist Church cares for them. Open Door Baptist Church loves them. Open Door Baptist Church wants to see them get out of the position that they're in, which is probably not so bright at that time. And we can begin to show them the light. And who is the light? It's Jesus Christ. The lights of Open Door Baptist Church will shine brighter in this community when we invest our time into the community. And let me say this, and please don't take this the wrong way, but Open Door Baptist Church light, folks, it's not shining so bright. It really isn't. And that's our fault as a church. It's not an individual's fault, because we're not here to point fingers at one another. It's our fault, because we're a family of God. The church's light isn't shining so bright anymore because God's people have lost their motivation to serve Him. Write this down, please. It's time to get off your blessed assurance and do the work of God. I'm urging us, pastors urged us, to see the need to stop serving the gods of this world. Where are most individuals at tonight? Why are a lot of these seats empty? Are they serving the gods of this world? I don't know. I don't see them here. We're urging you to stop serving the gods of this world and begin to serve the God who sent His Son Jesus, who died for our sins. And you might ask, Chad, will you ever stop preaching about this? Yes, I will. When? When we as Open Door Baptist Church finally get it and begin doing it. That will be the day I will stop preaching about it. Lastly, the pastor tries to motivate his church. In verse number 5, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The pastor tries so hard to motivate, to encourage his church people to keep going to church. And folks, please, before I go on, let me say something. I understand we miss because we're ill. I understand those things. I understand we miss because we're out of town. I understand those things. I'm not talking about those things. So please don't think that. I understand when we get an ailment that comes upon our body. We have a pastor who's sitting at his house tonight because he's not feeling the greatest. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about when there's no desire to be here. And pastors spend a great deal of their time to motivate the church to keep going to church. Why? Because he has prepared a message specifically for you. And when you don't show up, it's disappointing to him. It's no different if I was to go to your house and you invited me and you invited my wife and daughter to come eat at your house. And you go all out, you go to the store, you buy all the fixings, you put everything into it, you clean the house, you clean the toilets, you vacuum the carpet, you clean the stove that you're putting the food in, you put the best china on the table, and all of a sudden you get a phone call from me that you invited, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't make it tonight. And you're thinking, oh, that's okay, maybe next time. And you didn't even ask why. And the reason is probably because, well, I had a basketball game to go to or a soccer game, whatever. We didn't tell you the excuse. We just didn't want to be there. And they sound so encouraging to you. No, don't worry about it. We'll catch up later some other time. Click. They got off the phone, and the wife immediately begins to melt down. And she might fight back some tears. She might swallow them a little bit and, you know, try not to cry, but she can't stop it from crying because women, they're emotional. They get upset, And so the tears begin to flow, and the husband comes in, and the husband says, "What's wrong?" And they say, "Well, so-and-so is not coming to dinner. We spent all this time. I probably put in a good 12, maybe 16 hours of prep work just so that we can have a nice evening to be together, to sit around and to have a dinner and begin to fellowship. And now we can't have it." You get the idea, folks? You understand why the pastor tries to motivate us to come here? Women, are you understanding the disappointment that you feel during that time? The pastor feels that when folks, for some reason, decide to stay home. I understand why some people do. Trust me, I understand. I understand there are people who don't see well at night. I understand those things. I understand there's people who are up there in years and they don't have a ride to church. I'm not talking about those. But when you're physically able, we're trying to be motivated to stay into the church. Now is not the time to forsake the assembly. It's now more of a time to be more involved, more than ever. Why? Because the trumpets will soon sound. The Lord will soon gather his children. Amen? The question remains, will you be found faithful in the assembly of God? Or will you not be found at all? You say, "Chad, I gotta come to church every time the doors are open." Well, we should make an effort. We should try to make that effort. Finally, as I close tonight, just like you need motivated, and just like you need encouraged, so does the pastor. You have no idea the discouragement that they go through daily, and they often go through it alone. So as the pastor tries to encourage you, as the pastor tries to motivate you, we should turn around and do the same to our pastor. Amen? Every time we have an evangelist come in, every time we have a missionary come in, or a special speaker, we as a church should try to encourage them. And that's what we need to do. There are some things that I'm trying to work on, I'm trying to become better at, and I know I fail in a lot of areas. And I mainly fail in this. As I'm in the pulpit, I consider myself a good motivator. But as I step outside of the pulpit, I don't feel as if I'm the motivator that I should be. So I know that I've been preaching to you folks tonight, but this is really having more fingers come back at me, because I know some areas that I lack. And I hope that we see the need to continue to further the gospel to this community. I don't know how else to motivate you. I don't know how else to show you the urgency that we need to have in our lives for the lost that are going to hell. Jeff's seen it with his own eyes. He has seen the things that are going into the third temple. And we will never see the third temple. I believe that's going to be built during the middle of the tribulation. But those things are in place. They've already killed, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, the perfect red heifer. They've already dedicated the brazen altar because of that red heifer. Things are in place for Christ to return. And the last thing that I want to do as Open Door Baptist Church is to be caught sitting on our rear ends, doing nothing. I hope this is a great encouragement to you folks tonight. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we will be dismissed.